The man looked tired, and that was understandable. The peregrination to On was at hand with all of the tiresome business of off-planet visitors, the ritual with the fish speakers, the new ambassadors, the changing of the Imperial Guard, the retirements and the appointments, and now a new Duncan Idaho Gola to fit into the smooth working of the Imperial apparatus. Mineo was occupied with mounting details, and he was beginning to show his age.
"Let me see," Leto thought. "Mineo will be 118 years old in the week after our return from On."
The man could live many times that long if he would take the spice, but he refused. Leto had no doubt of the reason. Mineo had entered that peculiar human state where he longed for death. He lingered now only to see Siona installed in the Royal Service, the next director of the Imperial Society of Fish Speakers. "My houris," as Malky used to call them. And Mineo knew it was Leto's intention to breed Siona with a Duncan. It was time. Mineo stopped 2 paces from the cart and looked up at Leto. Something in his eyes reminded Leto of the look on the face of a pagan priest in the Terran times, a crafty supplication at the familiar shrine.
"Lord, you have spent many hours observing the new Duncan," Mineo said. "Have the Tlaloxu tampered with his cells or his psyche?"
"He is untainted."
A deep sigh shook Mineo. There was no pleasure in it.
"You object to his use as a stud?" Leto asked.
"I find it peculiar to think of him as both an ancestor and the father of my descendants."
"But he gives me access to a first-generation cross between an older human form and the current products of my breeding program. Siona is 21 generations removed from such a cross."
"I fail to see the purpose. The Duncans are slower and less alert than anyone in your guard."
"I am not looking for good segregate offspring, Mineo. Did you think me unaware of the progression geometrics dictated by the laws which govern my breeding program?"
"I have seen your stock book, Lord."
"Then you know that I keep track of the recessives and weed them out. The key genetic dominants are my concern."
"And the mutations, Lord?"
There was a sly note in Mineo's voice which caused Leto to study the man intently.
"We will not discuss that subject, Mineo."
Leto watched Mineo pull back into his cautious shell.
"How extremely sensitive he is to my moods," Leto thought. "I do believe he has some of my abilities there, although they operate at an unconscious level. His question suggests that he may even suspect what we have achieved in Siona."
Testing this, Leto said,
"It is clear to me that you do not yet understand what I hope to achieve in my breeding program."
Mineo brightened.
"My lord knows I try to fathom the rules of it."
"Laws tend to be temporary over the long haul, Mineo. There is no such thing as rule-governed creativity."
"But, Lord, you yourself speak of laws which govern your breeding program."
"What have I just said to you, Mineo? Trying to find rules for creation is like trying to separate mind from body."
"But something is evolving, Lord. I know it in myself."
"He knows it in himself. Dear Mineo, he is so close. Why do you always seek after absolutely derivative translations, Mineo?"
"I have heard you speak of transformational evolution, Lord. That is the label on your stock book. But what of surprise,
Mineo? Rules change with each surprise. Lord, have you no improvement of the human stock in mind?"
Leto glared down at him, thinking,
"If I use the key word now, will he understand? Perhaps. I am a predator, Mineo."
"Pred?"
Mineo broke off and shook his head. He knew the meaning of the word, he thought, but the word itself shocked him. Was the God Emperor joking?
"Predator, Lord?
The predator improves the stock."
"How can this be, Lord? You do not hate us."
"You disappoint me, Mineo. The predator does not hate its prey."
"Predators kill, Lord."
"I kill, but I do not hate. Prey assuages hunger. Prey is good."
Mineo peered up at Leto's face in its gray cowl.
"Have I missed the approach of the worm?"
Mineo wondered. Fearfully, Mineo looked for the signs. There were no tremors in the giant body, no glazing of the eyes, no twisting of the useless flippers.
"For what do you hunger, Lord?" Mineo ventured.
"For a humankind which can make truly long-term decisions. Do you know the key to that ability, Mineo?"
"You have said it many times, Lord. It is the ability to change your mind."
"Change, yes. And do you know what I mean by long term?"
"For you, it must be measured in millennia, Lord."
"Maneo, even my thousands of years are but a puny blip against infinity."
"But your perspective must be different from mine, Lord."
"In the view of infinity, any defined long term is short term."
"Then are there no rules at all, Lord?"
Maneo's voice conveyed a faint hint of hysteria. Leto smiled to ease the man's tensions.
"Perhaps one. Short-term decisions tend to fail in the long term."
Maneo shook his head in frustration.
"But, Lord, your perspective is time runs out for any finite observer. There are no closed systems. Even I only stretch the finite matrix."
Maneo jerked his attention from Leto's face and peered into the distances of the mausoleum corridors.
"I will be here some day. The golden path may continue, but I will end."
That was not important, of course. Only the golden path, which he could sense in unbroken continuity, only that mattered. He returned his attention to Leto, but not to the all-blue eyes. Was there truly a predator lurking in that gross body?
"You do not understand the function of a predator," Leto said.
The words shocked Maneo because they smacked of mind-reading. He lifted his gaze to Leto's eyes.
"You know intellectually that even I will suffer a kind of death some day," Leto said, "but you do not believe it."
"How can I believe what I will never see?"
Maneo had never felt more lonely and fearful. What was the God Emperor doing?
"I came down here to discuss the problems of the peregrination, and to find out about his intentions toward Siona. Does he toy with me?"
"Let us talk about Siona," Leto said.
"Mind-reading again.
When will you test her, Lord?"
The question had been waiting in the front of his awareness all this time, but now that he had spoken it, Maneo feared it.
"Soon."
"Forgive me, Lord, but surely you know how much I fear for the well-being of my only child."
"Others have survived the test, Maneo. You did."
Maneo gulped, remembering how he had been sensitized to the golden path.
"My mother prepared me. Siona has no mother."
"She has the fish speakers. She has you."
"Accidents happen, Lord."
Tears sprang into Maneo's eyes. Leto looked away from him, thinking,
"He is torn by his loyalty to me and his love of Siona. How poignant it is, this concern for an offspring. Can he not see that all of humankind is my only child?"
Returning his attention to Maneo, Leto said,
"You are right to observe that accidents happen even in my universe. Does this teach you nothing?"
"Lord, just this once, couldn't you—"
"Maneo, surely you do not ask me to delegate authority to a weak administrator?"
Maneo recoiled one step.
"No, Lord, of course not."
"Then trust Siona's strength."
Maneo squared his shoulders.
will do what I must. Siona must be awakened to her duties as an Atreides."
"Yes, of course, Lord."
"Is that not our commitment, Maneo?"
"I do not deny it, Lord. When will you introduce her to the new Duncan?"
"The test comes first."
Maneo looked down at the cold floor of the crypt.
"He stares at the floor so often," Leto thought. "What can he possibly see there? Is it the millennial tracks of my cart?" "Ah, no. It is into the depths that he peers, into the realm of treasure and mystery, which he expects to enter soon."
Once more, Maneo lifted his gaze to Leto's face.
"I hope she will like the Duncan's company, Lord."
"Be assured of it. The Talayalaxu have brought him to me in the undistorted image."
"That is reassuring, Lord.
No doubt you have noted that his genotype is remarkably attractive to females."
"That has been my observation, Lord."
"There's something about those gently observant eyes, those strong features, and that black goat hair, which positively melts the female psyche."
"As you say, Lord."
"You know he's with the fish speakers right now?"
"I was informed, Lord."
Leto smiled. Of course Maneo was informed.
"They will bring him to me soon, for his first view of the God Emperor."
"I have inspected the viewing room personally, Lord. Everything is in readiness."
"Sometimes I think you wish to weaken me, Maneo,"
Leave some of these details for me."
Mineo tried to conceal a constriction of fear. He bowed and backed away.
"Yes, Lord, but there are some things which I must do."
Turning, he hurried away. It was not until he was ascending in the lift that Mineo realized he had left without being dismissed.
"He must know how tired I am. He will forgive."
"Your Lord knows very well what is in your heart. Your soul suffices this day as a reckoner against you. I need no witnesses. You do not listen to your soul, but listen instead to your anger and your rage."
Lord Leto to a penitent. From the Oral History.